Good evening, everyone. We'd like to call the meeting in order. Thank you for your patience. This is the time and place scheduled for the continuation of our conditional use hearing on the Governor Crossing conditional use application. I'll just ask Mr. Chrisman if he wouldn't mind taking the roll.
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda?
Here.
Supervisor Parada?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Whitelock?
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo?
Here.
Five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so thank you. Before we move into new business, just Mr. Nelson is going to get us all caught up when we start with the new business. We'll go tonight. I think we're scheduled tonight till 9 p.m. We'll take a break at approximately 7:30, try to keep it to 10 minutes. We'll try to keep the meeting moving. And so it's very important, the ground rules. I know there are folks here who have heard this message, I think 18 times. But although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. That includes the minutes that are being, that the stenographer is taking and that we publish. But these meetings are also, posted to the website and their audio meeting minutes as well. So people can hear the meeting minutes without reading them. That's important because we have to keep speaking one person at a time. It can only be done from the podium. When you come to the podium, we ask, unless you're the applicant, or the, a witness, we ask that you state your name, and if you have, spell your last name if it's necessary. And if you're speaking during public comment, we also need to know your address, right? You have to be a resident to speak on during public comment. We will try to keep people, if we get to public comment, there are a lot of people in the room tonight, so depending on them, normally we keep public comment to about 3 minutes. We can, if it's necessary to extend it for someone who's making a particularly unique or nuanced point, I can do so. But generally speaking, try to keep your remarks to about 3 minutes. That will allow everybody a chance to speak, who wishes to speak. Mr. Nelson is our solicitor for these hearings, so he will really be running the meeting. The Board of Supervisors sits really as, in this instance, we're like the judge. So we're listening to the testimony, we're listening to the evidence that's presented, we're looking at evidence that's being put up on the screen. And although we're allowed to ask questions, the questions we ask are really points of clarification questions. We're not supposed to be asking separate lines of questions from the Board of Supervisors. Mr. Nelson will make sure that we all stick to that, but the folks that will be primarily, that we have all of the parties are present, so we have the applicant and his counsel present. We will have people that already have been identified and serve as interested parties that are here tonight, and some of them have counsel. So generally speaking, our group, all of us, have been doing a great job of sort of keeping the meetings moving and making sure that we're following the rules so that everybody, it's important that no matter where you're sitting in the room, you should be able to hear what people are saying. So we'll do our part to make sure folks are speaking into microphones if they're testifying. But the same is true if you come up to the podium. You have to speak into the microphone, speak clearly, lean into the microphone because, if you're sitting in different parts of the room, we want to make sure everyone can hear. We can hear generally because people speaking from the podium are looking right at us. But you have to remember the people behind you when you're speaking may not be so fortunate. So that's it in terms of just ground rules. Everybody, again, has done a great job up to this point, and I expect it to continue right through. We're nearing the end one way or another. But at this point, Mr. Nelson, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Since we have a lot of new people here, I'm just going to kind of give a little more explanation of what's going on so everyone understands and you know how tonight's going to proceed. So this is a hearing. It's not like a normal township meeting. All the public comment will be accepted at the end of this particular night. If we run into a situation where we're pushing up against 9 o'clock and we still have more people to go, The board will then make a determination of whether or not we're going to continue tonight or we're going to push on to another meeting. As far as public comment goes, I want to reiterate a few things. One, as was stated by the chairman, 3 minutes, and I will be timing it. If the board wants to hear you further, that is up to them, but I think anyone making public comment should assume walking up to the podium, you're going to have 3 minutes to speak. Two, since we do have so many people here, and we would like to hear from everyone, if you just want to support a previous speaker's comment, or if there's a group of you that can appoint a spokesperson, we really, really would appreciate you just doing that, saying, you know, Mr. Miller, who just spoke, I fully support what he said, thank you, and sit down. Or, you know, hi, you know, my name is Joe Smith, I'm here on behalf of my neighborhood, blah, 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 and give your little speech. All right? You know, that will have just as much impact as if all 10 of you come up and speak. So if you can arrange to have that happen, that would be wonderful. Lastly, it is, you know, we are only going to be accepting public comment from residents of Derry Township. If you're not a resident, you certainly can be here, you can listen, but you're not going to be allowed to speak. And that is what is allowed and called for under the PA Sunshine Act. As for tonight, what we're going to start off with is the applicant has a chance to do some rebuttal, present some rebuttal evidence, which I believe they will be doing. It should be short and sweet. Depending on what that evidence is, there might be some cross-examination from the party. And then we will move straight into public comment. If and when the public comment is over tonight, we may move into, if we have enough time, for oral argument. I'm going to limit it to most likely to the attorneys in the case, which will be Mr. Strong for the applicant, Mr. McNair for the township, and then the four attorneys for the objectors. Most of the other parties have already had a chance to speak at public comment, and really basically made their arguments at that point in time. Once that is over, I will be proposing a timeline as to when we're going to accept certain documents from the parties in this case, when the board is going to issue a decision. Most likely, we're looking in the middle to late fall that's going to happen. There's still a lot to go once the hearing is over. But that will be at the end of tonight's hearing, if hopefully we close out everything. But that's how we're going to proceed at this point in time. That being said, Mr. Strong, I believe you're up.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Nelson, members of the board. This is our opportunity for presentation of rebuttal testimony and any related exhibits. At this point in time, there is only one exhibit that we are proposing to submit that's additional to the 30 exhibits that were previously introduced and made a part of the record, and that is a staff memo that was prepared by staff, and I marked it as applicant's exhibit A31, and I would like to call Mr. Emmerich as a witness just to ask him a few questions to authenticate the document, and then I would request that it be admitted into and made a part of the record.
Works. Are you fine sitting there, sir?
If the board's fine with me sitting here, yes.
I think that works, yes.
Should I be sworn?
Yes.
I do.
Mr. Emmerich, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself. I think most everyone knows who you are, but introduce yourself and let us know your position with the township.
Sure, my name is Charles Emmerich. I'm the Director of Community Development for the Township, and under that title, I'm the floodplain manager, the zoning officer, and anything else that filters down to the basement. I've been here since 2009.
And in that capacity, did you prepare a memo for the supervisors that included Township staff's review comments regarding this conditional use application, and that was prepared prior to the first hearing in September of last year?
Yes.
And was that memo then updated subsequently prior to each consecutive hearing date as necessary and then provided to the supervisors prior to each hearing?
Yes, updated or reproduced.
And the memo that was prepared prior to the July 31, 2023 hearing date, is that the most recent version of this memo?
I believe so, yes.
And I'll show you what's been marked as applicant's exhibit 831. Is that the memo that was prepared prior to the July 31, 2023 hearing date?
It is.
And does exhibit 831 incorporate all of the township staff review comments regarding the conditional use application that may have been included in prior versions of the staff memos?
Yes.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have for Mr. Emmerich. I would request that exhibit 831 be admitted into the apartment record.
We're going to go through cross-examination, and then we'll get into the question of admission. Mr. McNair, any questions?
No questions.
Mr. Christ?
Yeah, I have one. I've never seen this document. No, I don't think anybody of the other attorneys or the people have. Could you at least put it up so we know what we're talking about? I never didn't know there was a staff memo that summarized everything. It's never been issued that they were going to admit this or do anything with it. Can we see what we're talking about?
So it is a 16-page memo?
That's a what?
16-page memo.
Could you email me that so I could take a look at it sometime? I mean, I would have thought that would have been made part of this a long time ago.
Mr. Christ, I will take care of making sure it's handed out to all the parties.
Yeah. Understanding that staff memos are typically only provided to the board.
Well, if you're going to make an exhibit in this hearing, it becomes public document. Well, that would be my position.
I agree.
All right.
Mr. Chris, do you have any further questions?
Well, I can't read a 16-page memo in a couple of minutes, so no.
One second, sir. I'm going to go through my list. Mr. Betts.
I have no questions, but I do appreciate receiving a copy of this when you can.
Yes. Mr. Greenberg.
On behalf of KinderCare, I object to the admission of this exhibit. It's ridiculous to offer us a chance to cross-examine the witness on a 16-page exhibit that we haven't had time to look at. So I don't think it should be admitted at all. I object to it.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Winter.
I second what he just said.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miller. Douglas Miller.
I third what he just said.
Okay. Excellent. Ms. Means.
I will fourth that.
Yes. Ms. Newman.
I agree with him as well.
Okay. Mr. Stain.
Five or six, whatever it is.
Great. Mr. Todd Twyman.
I agree with you and the rest of the gentlemen.
And Mr. Hitchcock.
Can we make it a party?
Okay, we certainly can. Thank you. Does the board have any questions for Mr. Emmerich? So, Mr. Emmerich, this is a staff memo that you prepare with whose assistance?
I prepare most of the staff memo.
And can you give us a brief explanation of what's in the memo?
Sure. Typically in a staff memo, I'm describing the property, the zoning district, the location, what's proposed on the property, and how I feel it complies with the municipal regulations.
So it does contain interpretations of the zoning ordinance as it applies to this application.
In a memo form, yes.
And are those interpretations yours and yours alone, or is there anyone else who has any input into those?
Those are mine and mine
alone. Mr. Strong, do you have any further questions?
I don't have any further questions. In response to the objections, this exhibit is the same as any other exhibit that we have offered during the course of the hearing. We're under no obligation to provide copies of our exhibits to the other parties in advance of a hearing. None of the other parties have provided us with copies of their exhibits in advance of any hearing. We filed the right to know request. We received copies of the memo. We thought it was pertinent to include it in the record, and so that's what we're doing. We're including it in the record.
Just one second, please.
Mr. Nelson, I have a motion on that.
See how the night goes, and then we'll act on your motion before we conclude tonight's hearing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just for clarification, I believe Mr. Greenberg made an objection. What is the motion that?
I think his objection is to, you know, he's saying his motion is to not accept our A31 into the record.
Okay. So,
yeah, is that correct?
Not exactly, Mr. Nelson. I was going to move, without delaying public comment, that the board keep evidence open, sort of adjourn, to give the parties a chance to look at this and decide whether we need to cross-examine this witness on the exhibit.
Yes.
Just to get a fair chance to deal with it.
But understood, which is the reason why I've given them one copy I have out. And depending on how tonight's hearing goes, we'll see whether or not we have a chance, you have a chance to look at it prior to another hearing, or whether we're going to, you know, end up wrapping up this tonight's hearing tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Nelson, I do have additional copies here. The attorneys are welcome to peruse these at their leisure during the public comment.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Winter, if you don't mind handing them to Mr. Greenberg and Mr. Getz for me. Thank you. Okay. Do any of the parties wish to call any further witnesses? Seeing none, I'm going to move back into public comment at this point in time. However, the board is withholding its right, you know, not the right term, but is going to hold open your objection motion regarding Exhibit A31 at this point in time, Mr. Greenberg. That being said, if anyone here who is a resident of the township who wishes to make public comment, please approach the podium, give your name and address, and please remember to keep it 3 minutes or less. Thank you.
Thought it was going to have to beat people back for this while. Michael Miller, 441 Elm Avenue in Hershey. So I timed this about 3:20, Mr. Nelson. So I'm going to do my very best, all right? Thank you for the opportunity. Couple quick comments, and then I want to go through three key points. One, just because you can build something doesn't mean you should, right? Yeah, we need things in this town, but just because we had that land on the corner doesn't mean we need all of that development. Do we need something that large? This is the question I would ask this board.
Sir, could you push that button?
This one?
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry.
You're okay.
We've heard testimony from Mr. Gates and those who have worked with him, and they did a good job in regards to doing what they were asked to do, right? But have they taken everything into account? I would ask, where will Mr. Gates and his company be when we start having traffic difficulties at the intersection of 322. Who is going to be left to deal with safety concerns, traffic concerns, pedestrian concerns? Once this project is built, who does that fall on? The residents, the community, the state? Who's going to handle the changes that are going to be necessary? So there are three key points regarding safety, preparation, and impact that I'd like to make. One, from a safety standpoint, how much risk is tolerable? That's really what I asked the board. How much risk is tolerable in the sense of potential traffic difficulties, being able to cross the street? Does anyone here know that there's actually a bike lane on 322? Yeah. What on earth? How is a...
I'm just going to say right now...
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
You're speaking to the board. You're putting public comment. And if we start with people snickering in the audience, we have spent almost a year at these hearings. We're not going to have this thing where people are chirping in. Please be respectful of the speaker. We're respectful of the speaker. We're respectful of all of you. But be respectful of us, too. I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, I appreciate that. And I'll try not to. I'm not trying to pander to the audience and mean it that way. You know, to quote Mr. Gates from many, many months ago, to your point, been here a long time, he made a statement when I asked him here, or actually, it wasn't me who asked the question, but that he felt the safety impact of this project was negligible. I don't understand how that could be by putting more residences, more businesses on that corner. From a preparation standpoint, months have gone by, of course, with deep dives into all the studies and planning, but why was Elm Avenue left out? Why was Maple left out? They're right there in proximity. They are closer to 322 than Sand Hill Road is. But yet we spent hours talking about Sand Hill Road. No one studied the impact of Elm Avenue. Was anyone here the other day when there was a truck fire in the intersection? Guess where everyone drove? Elm, Orchard, Maple. I live on the corner of Elm and Orchard. That's what we face. And when it comes to getting to Sheets on 322, westbound, how are we supposed to get there? How's anyone supposed to get there? Testimony was provided. You either have to go past the intersection all the way down to Cherry, which no one's going to do, or you just turn left on Fishburne. How many spots are there in the left-hand turn lane? 4 to 5. Oh, by the way, how are you supposed to turn left onto Elm, westbound? There's not a designated turn lane for it. How are ambulances supposed to get by? What is the primary route from Palmyra and Anvil? It is not 422 because there's more lights. It's 322. How are they supposed to traverse that intersection? These are all the safety concerns that we, the board, you, have to take into consideration here. Finally, from an impact perspective, Ron's Barbershop is impacted by this. Multiple communities are impacted by this. Coco Towns, the village, people where I live, Peach, you name it. Everyone who lives around there is impacted by this. And finally, most importantly, the risk of traffic accidents, pedestrians being struck, and delays in emergency services are the key safety items that impact our community and that this project will have an impact on the area. Sorry, I missed that. So the question is simple in regards to the board. Mr. Gates and his crew have done a great job checking all the boxes in regards to zoning and permits, but how do each of you believe this project is going to impact the safety of this community? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Mr. Nelson, I just want to confirm, Mr. Miller at 441,
Hi, my name is Christine Stickler. I live at 43 Locust Avenue. I've previously spoken that...
If you could spell your name, Ms. Stickler.
Stickler. S-T-I-C-K-L-E-R. I've previously spoken at public comment, and I just want to reiterate my comments, especially in light of Mr. Miller. Two points. First is, I think we need to really think carefully about how we want to develop our downtown community and the environment that we want to create. Second, more importantly, I'm very concerned about safety. I want to reiterate Mr. Miller's comments that cars frequently use the Elm, Maple, Glen Valley as a throughway to cut through when traffic builds up on 322 and 422. The traffic study did not take into account the increased traffic from Hershey West End, and it was done in the middle of the winter. We're going to have a lot more traffic during key areas when children are going to be commuting to school. And those of us that live downtown have children that don't have bus service, and they walk. They're walking when people are going to be driving around during rush hour, commuting quickly, not paying attention. And I'm very, very concerned that the traffic that's going to be diverted from 322 and 422 is going to come into our downtown communities and, in fact, our children that are walking to school. And that's not a risk that I'm willing to assume if I were in charge. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jim Cicchelli. I live at 131 Almond Drive in the village of Cocoa Towns.
I'm sorry, your last name is Kelly?
No.
Oh.
It's Chick Kelly, like an Irishman whose first name is Chick. His last name is Kelly. It's not Irish, it's Italian.
Okay.
Although my mother was Irish.
I'm a little slow. Could you spell it for me?
C-I-C-H-E-L-L-I.
Thank you
so
much.
The only one in the entire Harrisburg folk. I've been a resident of Cocoa Towns for 35 years. My home backs up and borders the well-known alley. I'd like to come back to comments on the alley in a minute. First, I wish to mention some other troubling parts of this project. I don't understand the rationale for the need for another gas station on this corner. There's already one there, and there's two others close by, Turkey Hill and the Golf Station, plus a third one, which is the Exxon Station down on 422. Secondly, there's been much discussion regarding the additional traffic in already crowded intersection. I understand there's a 40-unit multi-family building going in here. That could be 80 cars. Most people have two cars these days. Where are they going to be? Does each of these 40 units have a recycle can and a trash can? Where are they going to be? Are you going to put dumpsters in there to pick up that? And I'm sure the Sheets place is going to generate a lot of trash and recyclables. So you're going to have all these big trucks going in and out there. How's that going to impact this tiny intersection? Anyway, as far as the well-known alley is concerned, let's look at that. It was previously owned by Cocoa Towns Homeowners Association. Probably only a few of you know that. We graciously and generously dedicated the alley to the township because we thought they would be good stewards of the alley. Apparently, that's not the case. And we got zero consideration for giving the alley to the township. So I've been told that the alley is not part of this project. Well, maybe that'd be part of the project, but if you have a grain of common sense, you will realize that the traffic pattern in the plan will make it a thoroughfare by default. People will use it. The other thing that's interesting about that alley is there's a daycare center on Fishburne Road, and the one that joins in the evening or early morning during COVID when I was working from home, the children would be walking back and forth after, at the end of COVID, when they stay home working, the children would walk back and forth, and they still do. It's a beautiful sight to see the kids all on the line with their supervisors having a great time. So you're jeopardizing those children's ability to exercise. So in conclusion, I just hope you will be good stewards of not only the alley, but the entire neighborhood surrounding this project. We do not need it. There's no economic benefit for this neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Madeline Twyman. I live on Almond Drive. First of all, I'd like to thank the members of the Planning Commission for the service to the community and the lengthy amount of time and attention you've given to this matter. This is a situation that I consider important enough to stand before you this evening because it will affect the daily lives of my family, neighbors, friends, and the entire community of Hershey. My husband and I were fortunate enough to have multiple options when we decided to move back east almost 5 years ago. We lived in towns both small and large, big cities. We recently moved from a city of 300,000. We decided to choose Hershey to come and live. We felt it combined the advantages of a metropolitan area with the community and slower lifestyle of a small town. We've enjoyed our time here. And I would have to say, the only real annoyance has been the traffic backed up on Governor Road, specifically where it crosses Fishburne. I've been to a few of the previous meetings and listened to some of the testimony. The study that I heard discussed regarding traffic didn't really hold water with me. There were a lot of holes in it. It wasn't very complete. Anyone who has spent any time in Hershey knows what a mess it can be on Governor Road. The idea of increasing the traffic flow in the area is just plain ridiculous. Not only will an existing road need to be rerouted, but the new resulting new stoplight will feed into the alley behind my house. Okay, I know everyone says that's part of the next phase, but the truth is, you open the barn door, the horse is going to get out, the wildcat's going to get in. So that is a consideration to take. I wouldn't even really call that an alley. It's more like a paved pathway. It's used by area residents and the children of the nearby daycare to go for walks and the occasional car that takes a wrong turn. How long until it becomes a steady stream of traffic trying to avoid the increased congestion? Another thing that has me concerned is the prevalence of sinkholes right underneath the roads involved. Just this last spring, there was a sinkhole on Fishburne, right near where this development is going to go. And they're going to dig for new buildings. They're going to dig for 12 gas pumps. We're just asking for trouble there. Hershey has always been able to maintain a wonderful balance between major enterprises and small town community in a way that I believe Milton Hershey would be proud. His primary focus were the people who lived here and not profit. I'm not against any development at all, but I think this proposal goes way beyond anything manageable and is way more detrimental than beneficial to the community. I have occasionally heard someone say it might be nice to have a restaurant in the area. It would. We did lose one restaurant a couple of years ago. Or it might
Ms.
be nice.
Ms. Twyman, you're over, well over 3 minutes.
I got one more sentence, is that
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. I have never heard anyone say we could use another gas station. Never have I heard anyone say that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Nelson, I believe Ms. Twyman is also a party, is that correct?
I believe actually only her husband has to be a party. Ms. Twyman, you are related to Mr. Twyman, who was a party?
Yes.
Okay.
He's my husband.
Yes.
I had Madeline Twyman as the party name. What's the husband's name?
Carrie.
Carey, C-A-R-Y.
Thank you. Good evening, board. Tom Stang, 76 Almond Drive, Cocoa Counts. I don't know if being a party is a problem at this point in time during public comment, but I
Not at all, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm not even going to talk about toll safety issues. A lot of conversation throughout the cross examinations. People have already talked on the safety. As board members, the issue, one of the main issues I still see is the right turns in and the right turns out, that the restrictions are going to be on the residential homes on the west side of Fishburne and the commercial businesses on the east side of Fishburne. That's a big thing to take into consideration. You've been elected to support your residents. There's a lot I know that you need to do in doing that, but I really see that being a problem and something that needs to be addressed in the plan. But before this plan can be approved, something different needs to be done for the folks on the east side and west side of Fishburne. And to that, I also feel that the light that they're looking to put in, that you're looking to put in under this plan, going into the alley, that is not really widened enough. I don't think there's anything addressed in the plan on how they would address cars coming in at that point in time, cars coming out, and I don't know how much of the traffic study was considering that volume of folks not being able to be turning into the commercial businesses and having to use the... So the right-hand turn restrictions in and out is something that is a concern. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Just going to piggyback on his comment. Aaron Gaddens, I'm at 716 Fishburne Road.
Can you spell your last name?
Sure. G-A-T-T-E-N-S. I have a little bit of a unique situation. I actually grew up at 47 Peach Avenue, right behind Fishburne, which will also be impacted. My family, parents still live there. So part of my moving to 716 Fishburne was because my backyard nudges against my parents' backyard, so my children are able, thankfully, to run between yards. However, going forward, we will not be able to make a left-hand turn to go to my parents' house. So just piggybacking on the comment about how it will impact our side of the street on Fishburne. My whole side is residential. We love our businesses across the street. We frequent Kana. We love hearing the kids playing across the street at the daycare as well. I went to Kramer's for the Donics growing up. So I have lived here, and I just want to pull on your heartstrings a little. Like someone else commented about what Milton Hershey would want, what does our town stand for? I'm also not opposed to building something on the corner, but I am also very concerned with the safety issues and don't feel that this project aligns with what our town represents. So thank you for your attention.
Ms. Gaddens, hold on one second.
Sure.
Two things.
Yes.
First, did your, I believe, father speak at the last
meeting? He has spoken.
Okay.
Correct.
Second, Ms. Gaddens, Mr. Miller, everyone who's spoken tonight, can you please stand up? Yep. It's okay. It's not gonna hurt. We need to have you sworn in. I'm sitting here realizing, yeah, but it's a step here. So if the court reporter can swear all of you in, and then I'm going to ask each of you a question once you're done. So if you all raise your right hand, and the court reporter can swear you in.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
Ms. Gattons,
yes.
Would your public comment change now that you've been sworn in? Thank you. Mr. Stang?
No.
Yeah, I got to repeat it for the record. Would your public comment change now that you've been sworn in?
It will not.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, would your public comment change now that you've been sworn in?
Do I get 5 more minutes?
Thank you. Ms. Stickler, would your
public comment change?
It will not change. Thank you. And Jim, I'm not going to pronounce your last name. Okay. And Ms. Twyman?
Absolutely not.
It will not change. Thank you very much. And then obviously we'll see this is where each one is taken.
My name is Heather Perry, P-E-R-R-Y. I live at 726 Washburn Road. And I also am very concerned about not being able to turn left out of my driveway, adding time onto a lot of areas that I might need to go to, even the medical center if I needed an emergency. I'd have to turn right and go all the way through another community that's also very quiet. I'm very concerned about that and the safety. And that's piggybacking on a lot of other comments. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Frank Hitchberg. I live at 125 Long Drive.
What was your last name, sir?
Hitchberg. H-E-T-C-H-B-E-R-G-E-R.
Thank you, sir.
Would you raise your right hand? You swear to affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do. Several years ago, I came before this committee to get permission to build a patio outside my backyard. I wanted to build 14 feet outside that door. It was decided that this would use up too much land and was too close to the alley. So they allowed me to build about 10 feet. It is my understanding that you now want to move the alley lane 4 to 6 feet closer to my property. In so doing, you would be taking several trees for shade and also destroying flower beds. In addition, trees that were planted to divert the west wind would also be removed. I don't believe any of you would like to lose 4 to 6 feet on your property. The effect of this coming to fruition would also cost thousands of dollars of value in our homes. Several years ago, you showed wisdom in not allowing a gas station to be built on Cocoa Avenue in Route 322 because of the traffic problems. I hope you show that same wisdom in denying this project to take place. The traffic it will create on this alley could be enormous. The noise and activity will be great. Do not allow this to happen.
Thank you, sir.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
My name is Linda Eng. Last name is spelled E-N-G. I live at 23 Almond Drive at Cocoa Towns. The developer wants us to believe that this project enhances Derry Township. How does it do that? By installing 12 gas pumps and sheets. A sheet of 12 gas pumps the size you see on interstate highway rest stops. Never mind, there's a gas station across the street already. There's another gas station right down the street. There's another gas station the other way down the street. But this one's bigger, much bigger, way bigger. 12 gas stations bringing ecological, environmental, and health hazards. And the sheets open 24/7 with bright lights, traffic, noise, and possibly selling alcohol. As any reader of the Hummelstown Sun section of Crime Report knows, the sheets on Hummelstown Middletown Road, not to be confused with the Hummelstown that's at the old Kmart Plaza, has recurring instances, reports of petty thefts and disturbances. Why? Because it's open 24/7. There will also be 40 apartments housed in a three-story building. My question, what about Hershey West and its plans for the hundreds? I don't have an exact number because the number is changing. Places that will be available there. apartments and townhouses. Also, there's going to be a medical office system. Did you know that there still are, and have been for a long while now, empty spaces available at Derrytown Mall, where Penn State has its medical clinics and PSU COCO Family Medicine has its office? All of this comes with parking galore, empty spaces yet to be rented. And oh yes, there's a new child care center. But in order for this to happen, why do we have to take away an existing child care business that's been there for 50 years just to make room for another one, not to be confused with the other child care center that's already at Fishburne? It also proposes relocating Sand Hill Road and adding yet another second traffic light to an already heavily trafficked, problematic, very narrow intersection on Fishburne Road. I've lived in Derry Township for 45 years. And darn, don't you know, if you are the third car on Fishburne having to cross 322, that third car, the light turns yellow and then it's red. So can you imagine what will happen with more traffic backup and generated by this project? That is the Sheets, the pump gas station, the 40 apartments, the offices, the child care center, the expansion on Sand Hill, which dumps onto Fishburne and just means more medical center traffic. I suppose the traffic signals can be readjusted. Though why that hasn't happened, I don't know.
Ms. Inn, you're well over 3 minutes.
I'm almost done.
Thank you.
But can you imagine the volume of additional traffic? This includes the traffic that exists, Met Center, school buses, cars, parents and student drivers, Hershey Park, concerts, Chocolate World, even grocery stores, Carnes and John, they're all there. My question, why do this? What is gained? I understand at some point land will be developed. Green doesn't stay forever. It's not realistic. But growth and development needs to make sense. This out-of-town developer wants to make as much money as possible, and so he loads the 7 acres with whatever possible structures he can fit on the site. This plan should come with consideration of forethought and vision to benefit the needs of this community. This plan needs nothing and offers nothing business-wise that isn't already here. It creates more problems environment and traffic-wise, and it presents a public health concern because of the proximity of 12 gas pumps to both residents of the 40 proposed apartments and the 100-plus proposed daycare center children. It is an adverse effect on our neighborhood, a mishmash rehash. A plan needs to make sense and that so that we can move forward. This plan does not do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Nelson, just one quick question. Ms. Ang, do you own the property at 23 Almond Drive with Mr. Winter?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hold on a second, sir. Are people in the back of the room, are you having trouble hearing?
Yeah.
Yes. So, folks, to us, it seems like you're talking into the mic. It seems perfectly fine, but to them, it's not. So make sure you're talking into the mic. And people in the back, you know, raise your hand or something. Get my attention if it's not working, please. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth?
Well,
you have to raise your hand.
I thought we'd do some comic relief.
Your other way.
My name is Greg Starr. I live at 1603 Church Road, Hershey.
Yeah.
And your last name again?
Starr, S-T-A-R-R.
That's perfect, sir.
Do my best. Maybe I should hold this up here. I certainly encourage you to take into consideration all of the concerns of residents who live more closely to the project than I do. But this will be something completely different than what I've heard so far this evening. I personally support moving forward with the project. I don't know all the ins and outs. And while the house I own and live in is not right next door, I live close enough to consider this intersection my part of Derry Township. I drive through it regularly. I purchase gas at its corner often. What happens or doesn't happen at this major intersection does impact me and many residents like me who live close by but not next door. For the entire 10 years that I have lived in this community, I have been eager for the redevelopment of this property. This blighted property. I have followed with interest the plans and watched as the larger property has been compiled. The intersection was improved a few years back by adding right-hand turn lanes in both directions on Governor Road. I have really appreciated these extra lanes. So I affirm whatever traffic enhancements can be made to the intersection. I support the relocation of Sand Hill Road and steps to minimize left-hand turns right near the intersection, both of which will make the area safer for myself and all drivers. I've heard that no one is asking for another gas station, but you're going to hear it here first. I look forward to a Sheets gas station on my end of town. I'm ambivalent about apartments, but I do know that Derry Township needs more housing. I wonder if we really need another child care center, but as I've looked at the plans, I thought, well, maybe that center could be a new building for kinder care, because it does make sense to me that Hope Drive would eventually be extended, which would reduce traffic on 322 that's trying to get into the Metro Center. Change can be disappointing. I live on Church Road, 1603 Church Road, right across the street from my house, at the intersection of Church Road and Lamppost Lane. A property is being developed with multiple duplexes rather than single-family homes, as I had hoped. I believe a few of my neighbors came to a township meeting to express concern at that when it was first announced. I, too, didn't want that to happen. And it's not what I would have preferred. But as the projects moved forward, I realized it is not as bad as I had feared. My hope is that perhaps the neighbors of Governor Crossing can push through their disappointment and accept the change that is coming their way, because in order for this to be redeveloped, nearby residents are going to be disappointed. It can't not change, and this property needs to be developed in a good way. It may not be as bad as everyone seems to think. Maybe there will even be benefits that the businesses right there didn't see coming. New customers, maybe new neighbors, maybe your child's new best friend will move into the apartments. It might not be as bad as you think. So, commissioners, it's time to move forward with the development of this property. It's up to you to decide whether this is exactly right or if there should be adjustments made, and I certainly encourage you to take into consideration all that all the other residents are saying. But there will never be a plan that pleases everyone. And change is hard. But I do believe that change in this area will be good, very good for this location. And so if not this plan as it exactly stands, I encourage you to move forward with the redevelopment of this property. Because it, standing as it is not good for this community. Thank you.
Good evening, Eric Williams, 40 Almond Drive.
Could you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, say?
I do. I'd like to be very brief, but I will start with a disclosure. I'm the president of the Cocoa Towns Homeowners Association, and as Mr. Nelson charged us in the beginning, I'm just going to say, you know, I'm here to support the comments that you've already heard from the residents of our community. In interest of time, I guess I'll ask a process question. So on November 20th, 2022, I sent a letter which each of the supervisors should have received. I don't know if that was actually entered into the public record, how that works. So I'd rather not read the letter if you already have it, but wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, I believe that has been entered as an exhibit into the record for this hearing.
Okay, perfect.
I believe Mr. Winter was the one who introduced it.
Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Smith, 101 Almond Drive, Hershey, PA.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, and the whole truth?
I do. We've been doing these meetings now since last September, and I've heard a lot of the developers' proposed plans, but I questioned at the last meeting the traffic study.
Mr. Smith, you already presented public comment at the last meeting. If I can ask if we can let everyone else speak before you speak again, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate your patience.
My name is Robert Wolf. That's spelled W-O-L-F-F. I'm a resident of Derry Township at 630 Appenzell Drive in what we used to call the Shady Hill Estates subdivision.
Can you just say the name of your street again?
Appenzell, A-P-P-E-N-Z-E-L-L, Appenzell Drive.
You swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so
I do. I come tonight to speak against this development. I will say that I am not opposed to all development on this.
Mr. Wolf, you need to speak more into the microphone.
Okay.
You can bend it towards you, that's, so you don't have to lean so much. But yeah, you need
thank you.
To be right on top of it. Thank you.
Again, I am speaking against this particular proposal. I'm not opposed to all development on the property. I have lived in the township long enough to remember Don's Pier, which was a wonderful little restaurant. I still have some plaster sculptures in my library from the store that was part of it. And the current farmer's market is a wonderful source of fresh food, and my wife visits it regularly. However, the proposal that you have before you is fundamentally flawed. It is an overdevelopment of the property, and it is an unnecessary development of the property. I will just reiterate, especially since one of the speakers wasn't sworn in, but he commented that we don't need another gas station. We don't need another Sheetz. There is two Sheetz available within a couple of miles, and plenty of gas stations around. That is one of the fundamentally wrong aspects of this project. In terms of overdevelopment, again, as many people have said, it is just simply too much concentrated development on a property that is strategically located at intersections which are already frequently overwhelmed by the existing traffic. What I envision is very reminiscent to me about Tropical Storm Lee. I had to call into work and say, I can't get to work today because every single road outside of my house is blocked, in that case, by standing or running water. With the development to the west of me, with the new multifamily housing, with the traffic that comes from the increasing development in the medical center. The various roads that I would use to get out of my house are becoming increasingly impossible to traverse. The Sand Hill was sort of a secret outlet that I would go east to go west. This development will ruin that for me, for my neighborhood, and for all the other people around. We need to have development that is intelligent, is smart, and is appropriate, and I hope that you, as our supervisors, will take into consideration the views of the people who have elected you and not approve this project as it is currently structured. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Kevin Ferguson, Coyle Hollow Road. I am not a resident in the immediate area.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear affirm the type of truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
so how do you speak into the microphone?
I'm sorry?
Speak into the microphone.
You are a resident of Derry Township.
I am a resident of Derry Township.
Okay.
Not a resident in the immediate area, and I don't have a business in the immediate area, but I do frequent that intersection.
And sir, you're kind of waving back and forth.
Okay.
So if you can just stay right in front of the microphone, it would really be helpful. Thank you.
But I do frequently drive through that intersection. That's my interest here tonight. I just want to point out three quick points where I object to this property being developed. I agree with it's being completely overdeveloped for that size of land. There's two businesses in there, the daycare and the sheets that are magnets for traffic during rush hour. The daycare, for the obvious reasons, and the sheets, has a very popular deli. And quite frequently do people go there for breakfast sandwiches, lunch, and dinner. So specifically during rush hour, you're going to have more traffic going to that area just for those two businesses. I see the design for the in and out of that development being problematic. It seems like if you're not going to be leaving that property driving south on Fishburne, that everybody's going to be going out the south driveway onto Hilltop, which is already backed up as it is. And the third point I want to make, and I think most significantly, I think it was three hearings prior to this hearing, the traffic study analysis was being presented, and the board, in my opinion, rightfully objected to the accuracy of that data that was being presented. It was pointed out that in the real world, there seemed to be a lot more cars that travel through that intersection than the data actually suggested. And there was some significant conversation about that data as it was presented. I don't know if that was resolved. It certainly appeared to me that the board didn't really accept that analysis of being accurate. Given that, I don't know how that you could proceed with a responsible vote in approving the project if you don't have that key piece of information to make an informed decision. Without that, it doesn't seem like you agreed with it, and I don't know whether that information was ever corrected or not, but without that, I don't see how you could proceed with a vote to approve the project. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
My name is Rich Barley, and I'm a resident of 29 Maple Avenue.
Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you. Can everyone hear me?
That's good, yes.
Okay.
Well, you could pull that microphone if it's more comfortable to hold it. You could hold it too.
Okay.
If you're comfortable with it, that is where you don't have to lean in.
Like this?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a pleasant blast from the past from a previous speaker who mentioned Don's Pier. Those were the days. The intersection we're discussing this evening has a long history of traffic issues. It was once known as Herb's Corner. And it was busy even in the 1950s when it was a simple intersection. Herb's store sat right where the Sunoco now resides. Over time, that intersection has become increasingly more complex for more motorists to navigate. Now, I'm a former English teacher. You'll forgive me if I refer to or lapse into analogy. I have an analogy that I'd like to present at this time. Governor's Crossing reminds me of the Three Rivers section of Pittsburgh. The Steel City sits at the confluence of three great rivers. In our case, though, these rivers are rivers of traffic. The main arteries, Route 422, 322, and 743, daily pour a steady deluge of cars and trucks into a crowded infrastructure, already filled to capacity, and struggling to distribute the growing flow of traffic effectively. Lesser tributaries like Hawkersville Road, Governor Road, Middletown Road, Cherry Drive, Hope Drive, and Elm Avenue also simultaneously add to the rising tide of vehicular congestion, which ebbs and flows depending on the time of day or the day of the week. The worst times, of course, for smooth navigation are the drive times, 7 to 9 a.m. or 3 to 5 p.m., especially on Fridays, or any time our town is hosting one of many major attractions or special events. This is when patience wears thin and drivers get aggressive, because like water flowing into a restricted space, things start to back up, clog, and overflow. Our town already experiences this phenomenon on an all too regular basis, right? And this is even before we can witness the impact that Sheets, the stores, and the apartments proposed in the Governor's Crossing development will have, not to mention the added traffic that will surely result from the additional expansion of the west end of our beautiful town. I urge the township supervisors to examine both the short-term and the long-term implications of approving this proposed plan before we make what is now a difficult traffic situation even worse. Thank you.
My name is Serena DiMagno, and I'm a homeowner at 514 Hawkersville Road.
Could you spell your last name?
Sure. It's capital D, I, capital M, A, G as in George, N as in Nancy, O.
Thank you.
I have lived in the Hawkersville neighborhood for my entire life, which now marks 72 years. My home is seven houses down on the left from Governor Road intersection. The proposed Governor Crossing development not only directly impacts neighborhoods and businesses along Governor Road and Fishburne Road, but Hawkersville Road as well. Other neighborhoods along Sandhill Road, including Peach Avenue and the alley adjacent to the Cocoa Towns area, will be impacted. And the overarching question is, why? Why such an impact? Because this intersection is already a high traffic volume area, with Hawkersville Road being used as the connector link between Route 422 and Route 322. The flawed traffic study, which was conducted in January, February, and March of 2020 during the winter months at the height of the COVID-19 shutdown and prior to the West End Hershey development or the new Hershey Food Factory, certainly did not represent the true traffic volume seen every day in this area. Even the Penn State Medical Center traffic was significantly reduced during this time. The data from this traffic study is inherently incorrect and can't be used to predict the current traffic volume, let alone the future traffic volume, when the West End is fully developed and the new factory is operational. The other significant omission in the traffic study was the completely overlooked impact of the tourist traffic that heavily contributes to the traffic volume at the Governor Road intersection, both because it was conducted at the wrong time of the year and during the COVID-19 shutdown. I challenge the Board of Supervisors to observe the traffic backup on Hockersville Road every morning from 7:30 to 9 a.m. and every evening from 4 to 6. People become so frustrated that those waiting to turn left at the intersection of Governor and Hockersville Roads race up the opposing lane of traffic. Please listen to what I said. They go up the opposing lane of traffic to reach the traffic light, disregarding vehicles attempting to enter Hockersville Road from Maple Avenue. For verification, you need to speak with the Township Police Force to confirm that this is, in fact, occurring. Can you imagine how much more prevalent this will become when the Governor Road intersection becomes even more congested? Almost every morning, I sit through at least two traffic lights before being able to make the left turn at the intersection of Hockersville Road onto West Governor Road. And sometimes it's as many as four lights. And every evening, I sit waiting to be able to enter the driveway at my home because the traffic is lined up, waiting to proceed through the traffic lights at the intersection. Remember, I'm seven houses down on the left side, and this backup reaches up to 11 or 12 houses down Hockersville Road. Because of this daily traffic backup on Hockersville Road, we also now have vehicles exiting Hockersville Road at the alleys that are on Hockersville Road, racing up Peach Alley, which is in the rear of the homes on Hockersville Road. People walk in the alleys, and children ride bikes and play in the alleys. Those drivers racing up the alley to circumvent the traffic backup are endangering everyone attempting to exit their garages or driveways, as well as the pedestrians and children.
Ms. Chinagno, you're well over 3 minutes. If you can wrap it up, please.
Oh, hang on.
Sorry.
The traffic volume increase resulting from the Governor Crossing project is only going to exacerbate the problem. Others have talked about the number of gas stations and convenience stores within proximity of this proposed Sheetz development. The safety risks that are proposed by the Sheetz are unacceptable. To provide fuel for the 12 pumps proposed, more than 50,000 gallons of highly flammable gasoline will be stored on the site and require frequent replenishment with fuel tankers entering and exiting the site. A site which also is proposed to house a child care center, apartments, and medical offices, and also outdoor seating. All of the occupants of these facilities will be exposed on a daily basis to highly toxic, volatile organic chemical compounds such as benzene, ethylbenzene, and toluene, which are known carcinogens.
Ms. DeMagno, you're over 5 minutes, so if you could please
Conclude
your
comments. Then let me just get to the chase.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Linlow Properties, the development and attorneys representing the developer, don't live or work in Derry Township. They never pay taxes here, and they don't care about the quality of life that will change for all of the residents of the neighborhoods impacted by the Governor Crossing development. Isn't it time that you, the Board of Supervisors, do what is in the best interest of the long-term residents and businesses in these neighborhoods? Thank you for the opportunity to present testimony.
We've reached our normal break point, so we're going to break for 10 minutes, and then we will continue with the public comment. Thank you.